doing the whole 6010.
Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Happy Thursday, October 29th. Field Yates, Mike Clay, Daniel Dopp.
That's not Mike Clay.
Bell, David Rose.
There you go.
He's here.
I'm trying very hard not to connect with people right now.
I can't wait to see how all in he goes on this bit.
I'm so excited for this. For those that are watching live right now, you can see that Mike Clay has gotten a head start on Halloween, because who doesn't love Halloween? David?
I'm out of lines.
Oh, that was it? You know,
he made it two lines.
That was it.
For those that are not watching and are listening instead, if you have a chance, go check out Mike Clay's Halloween costume, as he is David Rose from the incredibly popular and funny Schitt's Creek, one of the great shows on television, recently pulled off an Emmys sweep. Mike is in, I mean, this is outstanding level of detail. Not only is Mike wearing a homemade sweatshirt, but I was told that your wife is the person who manufactured the sweatshirt.
She did. This was just a black sweatshirt from Amazon, and she did all of these little thunderbolts. So impressive, honestly. It's pretty good.
I just learned. Are those thunderbolts or are they lightning bolts?
What did I say?
Thunderbolts. You said thunderbolts.
They're thunderbolts.
Okay.
I said thunderbolts. They're thunderbolts.
Okay. If you haven't watched Schitt's Creek, that's your fault. That's your loss. Go ahead and watch it. There are now 6 seasons available. They go by like that. With 13 episodes per season, they go by. You can watch them in a day if you are so inclined.
Yeah, people who haven't seen it are like really confused by this as I'm walking around campus. People who have think it's
amazing.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there are a couple people on campus that are like, Mike Clay. I mean, it's already hard enough to tell who people are with their masks on, which are required around ESPN campus. Now you've got Mike with his oval-shaped lenses. His Thunderbolt, as he just called it, sweatshirt, and a couple other pieces of detail. He's got the homemade rings. Well done by Mike Clay. Coming up on today's show, we've got a bunch of news to update you on. We have the Shadow Report. For those that don't read Mike Clay's wide receiver cornerback column weekly, that's your fault as well. It's basically the Schitt's Creek of ESPN.com content. It is terrific. We'll also get you a preview of tonight's game. Actually, a pretty fantasy-friendly and relevant game. Do we have Stefania's feed yet? If we do, I'm going to head over to Stefania for some news. If we don't, then I'm going to filibuster for a second and move on. Hey!
Look at
that! Stefania's cut.
Hello, Stefania.
How's it going?
Like magic. Yeah. Magic in the control room.
Do you approve of Mike Clay's costume? You can be honest. It's just you and
I. So here's the thing. I have a confession.
Uh-oh. Don't do it. Just, you know what,
Stefania? Don't say it. Don't say it. Just don't say it.
Your mic is broke.
Yep.
My sister-in-law has been getting after me to watch Schitt's Creek.
And? And you've obliged her advice.
No, great call. I love Stefania.
I love episode 3 of season 2, one of my favorites of all time.
So I can't comment on the I mean, it's funny just because, I mean, look what he's wearing. It's ridiculous.
The best part was that we had a conversation just before the podcast started, Mike and I, that was like serious about real football. And I couldn't pull it together for Mike Clay's version of David Rose. Well done by you, Mike and Stefania. We do have a bunch of injury updates to get to. And Aaron Jones, when this first happened last week, popped up on the injury report. It was very, 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 very minor. Or is it?
Well, it's still probably minor, but it's major enough that he didn't practice on Wednesday. And I think this one caught my eye because we just sort of assumed that he would be back and ready to go this week. And now it's feeling a little bit like Aaron Jones may sit this week out as well. So just something, if you had Jamal Williams, you want to hang on to him just in case.
I do wonder if part of this is driven by the fact they have a Thursday game next week.
Right.
That if you can maybe hold him out for one more week, you get it back on that Thursday night game. I forget who they play. It might be the Saints. I don't know.
It's interesting because teams always say, well, we're not going to factor in the bye, or at least most of them say that, or not going to factor in like the schedule. You know, when they're ready, they're ready. But more and more, they do. And so I think we're smart to look at the schedule when you start to see a hint that they may not play. And especially in this particular season with COVID complicating matters. I think teams are being extra careful when there's a soft tissue injury and they just don't want to take a chance on turning it into something that is 4 to 6 weeks when it might be 1 to 2.
I mentioned it was the Saints. It's actually not the Saints. It's the 49ers. So I was way off. But yeah. Stefania's 49ers.
I don't want to. I try not to take it more than 1 week at a time.
That's right.
We're trying to field a team.
It's very Bill Belichick of you. I like it. Well said, Stefania. Let's move forward to Cincinnati, where I'm actually.
Cincinnati.
We're on the Cincinnati. Wow. We are in some sort of rhythm right now on this show. Stefania, what's latest on Joe Mixon?
Well, Joe Mixon not on the practice field either. This one is a little trickier for us because the Bengals haven't really shared much about the nature of his injury. And I go back to when he was injured in week 6 and he was in and out of the game and it seemed like it wasn't a big deal. But then he never made the practice field last week, out that game, hasn't come back yet this week. So stay tuned.
This is not a what to do with him in week 8 comment. I'm just going to state it, like, Joe Mixon's one of the more confusing, like, really good running backs to me. I think Joe Mixon's like a really, really, really good player. I'm not sure he's a great player. He got paid like one recently, isn't like a great, great running back, but his career sort of feels like week by week is certainly how I feel about Joe Mixon. Let's move forward here, Stefania, to Chris Carson. Seahawks have a bunch of injuries in their backfield, but Chris Carson's the one that I think has the most fantasy relevance. Any outlook from Pete Carroll based off what you heard yesterday?
Well, you know, Chris Carson's not practicing. And I know they've tried to play this in an optimistic manner, which is something that the Seahawks tend to do, in that the midfoot sprain that he suffered wasn't as serious as what they first thought. And Chris Carson is a guy who wants to get out there. And we know, we've talked about this on the show, that there's this perception of him as injury prone, which I personally think is unfair, given the nature of the injuries that he has had and the fact that he has played more than I think people give him credit for. Just he was invisible in the offense sometimes. So now he has an injury that is a real one and something that I think they do not want to take chances with. So I would not be surprised if it ends up being a week without him. Now, Carlos Hyde's dealing with a hamstring issue as well, and it is only the middle of the week, so we will see. But if I was from a distance, I would say I'd be surprised if Chris Carson plays this week.
Okay, Chris Carson, probably not. Carlos Hyde, we'll see. We'll revisit that one tomorrow because we'll have 2 full days of practice reports to react to and use as context. Big game on Sunday. Seahawks, 49ers. Minnesota has some good news finally.
Yeah.
Anya, we need this.
Injury good news, yeah. Finally. And Dalvin Cook, and this is falling right in line with what we expected, is that, you know, he sat out the week after he had the groin injury and they had a bye immediately afterwards, so he benefited from that. He's had rest. He was back out there Wednesday, full go, and the expectation is that he will play.
Tell you what, we always talk about how the Vikings have really good running back depth, but it's now been like 3 or 4 separate opportunities where we've had Alexander Mattison or Mike Boone stepping into the Dalvin Cook role, and each of those times, they have not met expectations other than when I think Mike Boone had like 2 touchdowns and 120 yards in week 17, when, as we know, many leagues are no longer playing in their fantasy championships, those who conclude their fantasy championships in week 16. More positive news, at least in the right direction, for the 49ers. Finally, Stefania.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
So it sounds like they are designating Tevin Coleman for return, okay, but there is no guarantee that he will return this week. And I think they're waiting to see how the week flows for him. The 49ers obviously dealing with a multitude of injuries at running back. They have Jamichael Hasty. They have Jerick McKinnon. Tevin Coleman is a maybe for this week.
You know, and you know what? I mean, it's not like, by the way, 2 things. They play Thursday, as I just said, against the Packers next Thursday, right, after I corrected myself with a terrible guess on the Saints. And second of all, and maybe Mike can chime in here, Tevin Coleman's been bad this year. The last, and I understand it's just 2 games. I understand he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it was really 1 game because he got hurt early in the second one, so you haven't seen that much from him. And this is also puzzling from the injury front because where we've been, it's been very clear, you know, Mostert with a high ankle sprain and Debo with a hamstring injury. They've been very upfront.
Yeah.
And Tevin Coleman, it was just a knee sprain. Very vague.
All right. Well, we'll keep it up.
Just really quick, the 49ers running backs actually lead the NFL in fantasy points. So there's a lot to be had there. It's just a matter of who's going to be on the field.
Got to know which one.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he hasn't played too much. To Stefania's point, I think once he's healthy and out there, it's a good scheme, right? Good situation to be in. So I have him stashed in a couple deeper leagues, but this week, man, it should be all systems go for Hasty. And
yeah, I like, they love Jamichael Hasty. Mm-hmm. Loved him in the preseason. And I feel like he showed a burst and he was exciting when he was on the field. You might see a lot of him this week.
And also on as we know, on Jerick McKinnon, he barely played last week. He had 12 snaps for, I think, minus 1 yard in total. So
everything was minus.
Yeah. Well, except, yeah. Before- I'm just, but my thing is, like, even if he plays on Sunday, like, I don't know how I could trust Jerick McKinnon being a factor in the offense if the team might want to once again rest him, being mindful of the fact that he's missed back-to-back years, essentially, with a knee injury. I'm having a hard time taking Mike seriously when he takes his glasses off, so the next time we come to you, Mike, put the glasses back on. Allen Robinson, Stefania, Monday night, he left the game, was it late, right?
Yeah.
Now we have a little bit of context as to what happened.
Well, he's in the concussion protocol, and I was watching when it happened. He took a hard hit, and this was one of the instances where the spotters made the call to pull him off the field and have him be examined, you know, and that's why they're there. Yeah, they see something that looks like the player's not right and needs to be evaluated. The referee spoke to him, and that's why you saw Allen Robinson come off. And lo and behold, he is in the concussion protocol now, and so we wait.
Okay, and if Allen Robinson is unable to play, a complete list of Bears wide receivers that you should start will be available at some other point down the line. I have a hard time envisioning you're starting somebody not named Allen Robinson, given that Allen Robinson, while a fantastic talent on his own, even he has had some up and down weeks. Again, not because of Allen Robinson, but because this offense is not really scoring points right now.
Darnell Mooney at some point
sure.
is going to catch one. I mean, the air yards have been there for him. You remember that Nick Foles almost hit him for, what was it, a 96-yard touchdown?
Yeah.
Something like that. Sorry
thank
about
you.
That.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
Is that better?
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's better.
Almost a 96-yard. I can barely see you now, but I mean, whatever. It's all for the show, right?
That's right, so, Mike.
Anyway, Darnell Mooney. You know, maybe a DFS flyer.
All right, Darnell Mooney, a player they do like. He's got plenty of speed. That much is for sure. Now to the Saints wide receivers, Stefania. We now have a practice report from New Orleans. What do we know on Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders?
Neither one practicing. Emmanuel Sanders obviously placed on the reserve COVID-19 list last week, and you never know what the timetable is going to be for a player who has been placed on the list after testing positive. We do know they have to go through a series of steps and consecutive negative tests before they're allowed to be in the facility. And Michael Thomas with a hamstring issue, and we talked about this last Sunday on Fantasy Football Now, that it might be more than just that game that he would miss, and certainly not an encouraging sign when you're not there for the first practice of the week.
Emmanuel Sanders did say this on his 17 Weeks podcast, and Stefan, you're right, we don't know for sure. He referenced missing 2 games because of COVID-19. He is symptomatic, as he also revealed, or was symptomatic, I should say. So he revealed, or he expects to miss 2 games. I would think that's the minimum based off of what he just said there and what Stefania has said, and also what we kind of know about COVID-19 and the protocols thus far with the NFL. So probably no Emmanuel Sanders this week, and as Adam Schefter reported on Sunday, you better make plans, and as Stefania just reinforced, for the possibility of no Michael Thomas this week as well. Huge, huge game between the Steelers and the Ravens on Sunday, Stefania. What do we know about Deontay Johnson?
Well, we know that he didn't practice Wednesday, and now you start to look at these things a little differently, right, after things that have happened. Remember, he had the back contusion a couple weeks ago. Mike Tomlin thought he'd be available the next week, and then he tried to practice a little bit and couldn't, and ultimately he was out. And then he comes back, and he's been managing a foot injury. Sometimes it's referred to as foot, sometimes toe, off and on throughout the season. And in many cases, he has either missed a practice or been limited and played through it. But he did have something happen to him late in the game last week and said it was a bruised ankle, no big deal, he would play. But I'm still paying attention to what Deontay Johnson does, because last time we heard it was fine, it ended up not being fine. By the same token, he's been playing through something with his foot throughout the year, so this could just be a little bit of a red herring.
I'm not. What does red herring mean?
A red herring.
What does that mean? Good.
No idea.
Why are you laughing?
No one knows.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard the term before, but I never.
Yeah, it's like basically something that fakes you out. You know, it's like it's like you think it's going to go one. You talk about it in movie plots,
but
right,
why?
For example, right? You think
but
it's going to go one way, and then it doesn't. It goes another.
But
it's just
why?
A tease to set you up.
Why?
Why is the term the term?
Why is a red herring? Why, when I look at a red herring, am I like, boy, there's something wrong with that one, or this is something I didn't expect? Like,
because that's going to be the
name. I didn't know I was going to get quizzed on the origin. Wow. I just know what the expression is used for. And so I'm saying this could be a Deontay Johnson setup, like where the ending is different than what you thought.
You know what? And yeah, that's
like the movies.
I understand that. And I apologize, Stefania. I assumed with the numerous degrees that you had at your disposal,
where's Kyle?
You just would have known. Kyle, unfortunately, doesn't have a microphone today.
No, but you know what Kyle has? He can text. He can text me.
I don't know about that.
No, I was genuinely asking because I know the term.
I believe you, Field. You were genuine. Daniel was making fun of me, but that's why I use the term. But I don't know the origin.
It's appropriate in this context. I think. So we'll
you don't even know what it means.
I just learned what it meant because Stefania is wicked smart. I'm going to keep an eye on Deontay Johnson because he may not have practiced Wednesday, but he could play on Sunday. That's what I just learned. Red herring. I'm going to overuse red herring so much now going forward. I'm definitely not teaching that term to Matthew because, you know, that will all of a sudden become like he's going to have a tattoo down his forearm by the end of the season. Let's get to the shadow report. It is Mike Clay's wide receiver cornerback matchup. It is available every single week on ESPN.com. Often duplicated. Dang it. Often imitated, never duplicated. I should just let Stefania stick to the fancy phrases. My bad. The point is, Mike's awesome at this column, and he's the best ever, even if he has interesting Halloween costumes on the show. Let's get to the first matchups of the week here, Mike. And, you know, last week, everybody was sitting there saying, myself included, it might be a week away from Juju Smith-Schuster being dropped in your fantasy leagues. And he was not. You know why? Because Mike Clay told us, you better watch out. He has a great matchup against the Titans last week. He went for 9 catches, 85 yards. They now play the Bengals. Does that mean that a huge week is in store for the Bengals' awesome trio of wide receivers?
I think so. And a little bit of a squeaky wheel, I think, too, with Juju, right? All of those targets.
Yeah.
I mean, and by the way, I think that could apply maybe to Jerick McKinnon this week, too, right? After answering questions all week, why didn't McKinnon play? Anyway, off topic. Ooh. But anyway, absolutely. A.J. Green and T. Higgins on the perimeter here against Malcolm Butler and Jonathan Joseph. Titans, we picked on them last week. We're going to do it again. Fourth most fantasy points allowed to receivers. Third most to the perimeter. That's where Higgins and Green are. That's why we're featuring them here. The Titans no lower than 6th in wide receiver targets, receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns across the board. They have struggled this season. In fact, 5 consecutive wide receiver units have produced at least 45 points against him this season. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, believe it or not, both top 25 fantasy receivers this season, but neither of them leads that team in targets over the past 2 weeks. That is, of course, A.J. Green seems to be back on track.
All the way back or no? You buying it?
No, because the volume hasn't led to the production yet, but the volume is there, right? It's there for the taking. So I think it's reasonable to think maybe it took him some time to get going. And maybe now he gets rolling. I think if that volume continues, he'll be fine.
Yeah, really interesting for A.J. Green. He's been a player that, at least for the football Twitter, has wanted to be a trade candidate. And we're now, 5 days away from the NFL trade deadline. Looks like he'll probably stay put in Cincinnati. He has been better of late. And the Bengals, as we know, they're throwing the ball so much. Joe Burrow leads the NFL in both passing attempts and passing completions. So we have each of those 3 Bengals wide receivers inside our top 27, or at least top 30, for week 8. That should be kind of a sneaky fun game because the Titans have played only close games for the most part this season, other than the Bills game when they blew them out on Tuesday night football. All right, so I hear a wide receiver is facing the Cowboys, and I think to myself immediately, awesome, I should move him up to the top 10. Is that the case this Sunday night with Travis Fulgham?
I think he is a lineup lock. Now, I will say this. Jalen Reagor may play, right? He was not activated, but he was
designated for return.
Window.
Yep.
Right. So we'll see if he plays in this game. I don't think it'll throw too much of a wrench into this because I'm sure he'll be limited in some capacity. But anyway, Travis Fulgham has been too good to put on your bench. In fact, a question for you. Who leads non-quarterbacks in fantasy points since week 4?
I'm going to go with... I am going to go with Alfred Morris.
Incorrect. You want to guess again? Anybody? Anybody? No?
Johnny Hecker?
Nope.
What was the question?
Who leads non-quarterbacks in fantasy points since week 4 in fantasy points?
Jeremy Langford?
Number 1 in fantasy points.
Kalen Ballage.
It's actually...
Alvin Kamara.
Stefania, you should know this one. It's George Kittle. I was hoping you were going to say Travis Fulgham like you usually do. And I would say, no, don't be ridiculous, but you ruined the joke. Travis Fulgham is second.
He, way to go.
That's right. I actually read that stat because it's shocking because he missed two games.
Oh, man. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Still is
yeah.
That impressive.
Right. So Kittle's one. Fulgham is two. He's been pretty good. The number one receiver since that point. So we like him. His target shares have been ridiculous. 36, 26, and 27% in his past three games. Trevon Diggs, now second-round rookie, has struggled for the most part this season. 96 fantasy points allowed. That's fifth most in the NFL. He did do a nice job a couple weeks ago shadowing DeAndre Hopkins, but we saw Terry McLaurin have a big game against him last week, 90 yards and a touchdown in that game. Dallas, eighth most fantasy points to receivers, fifth most to the perimeter, which is where Fulgham usually aligns. So even if he's not shadowed, a great matchup. We've seen it time and time again, people picking on this Dallas defense. So Fulgham, if you have him, keep firing him up.
Yeah, the Cowboys are in shambles defensively right now. That is what we call breaking news. Not breaking news at all. All right, let's get to some matchup downgrades here, Mike. Players you're a bit concerned about based off of the cornerbacks they may face, and I have no idea what's going on with Mike Evans this season. None whatsoever, because I can't think of a reason why he has been kept in check as much as he had, other than volume. And I can't figure out why his volume isn't really good. This is not like where you have... Like, there are, I always thought that Zach Ertz last year, part of the reason why his production dipped so much is because basically teams said, yeah, everybody but Zach Ertz can beat us. Mm-hmm. The Bucs are too talented to just say, hey, anybody but Mike Evans can beat us, because you know what? Other people are beating them right now. I don't know what is going on with Mike Evans right now.
He's been hurt. I think it's a bigger part of it than you're giving credit for. He can't run. He really can't.
Okay.
But I see both sides of that for sure. You have to think he's hurt, but totally with you there, Stefania. But you almost never see guys playing 90% of the snaps.
Right? Like it's just odd to me. But so separate and apart from whether it's because he's hurt, whether it's something else, how about the matchup of Monday Night Football right here on ESPN?
Yeah. So this is interesting. A little background here. This is a crazy stat. So James Bradbury, of course, is the shadow corner for the Giants, right? Okay. He was with Carolina the first four seasons in the NFL. 2,080 coverage snaps while he was there. 9.7% of them were lined up against Mike Evans.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
Over 200 snaps against him. So, of course, they met eight times. He shattered him in seven of them. The only one he didn't was, of course, his first game in the NFL. Well, not his first game, but his first game against Evans in the NFL. Here's the results of those plays. 61 targets, 30 catches, so less than a 50% catch rate, which is obviously not good for Evans. 387 yards, one touchdown, four interceptions. Evans, in those games, averaged a little under 65 yards a game and 12.2 fantasy points per game, despite 9.9 targets per game. His only touchdown against the Panthers was in 2016. So Bradbury has done an exceptional job against him throughout their careers. He has shadowed Allen Robinson, Kendrick Bourne, DeShaun Jackson, Amari Cooper, and then he split between Dontrell Inman and Terry McLaurin a couple weeks ago on their outside route. So he has been shadowing. He's always shadowed Evans. I think he will in this game. And here's the thing. As I mentioned, throughout all them games, he averaged almost 10 targets per game. He has 12 targets over his past three games, to your point. He just hasn't been used as much, hasn't been as productive, and now he is a tough matchup. There's one possible silver lining here, and it's that Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich have gotten Evans into the slot more than they ever have in his career, and Chris Godwin's out. So we may see even more of that in this game. Perhaps that can bail him out if he gets a few extra targets. Also, definitely upgrade Scotty Miller. I know we already kind of like him. No Antonio Brown this week. Godwin's out. We like Scotty Miller. He gets Ryan Lewis on the other side, so he does have a terrific matchup.
So I feel like the term over and underrated is typically overused. They are typically overused. And I always feel like with underrated players, sometimes we just all say the same player is underrated, and then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know if the guy's now overrated, but he's definitely properly rated. I feel like when we reference James Bradbury during your shadow report frequently, like he feels like a player is actually underrated for me.
I agree 100%. Now, he had a lot of like fantasy points allowed during his time in Carolina, but think about his schedule, right? On a year-to-year basis. Shadow Julio Jones twice. Shadow Mike Evans twice. Shadow Michael Thomas twice.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get much harder than that. Now he goes to the NFC East and the load hasn't been quite as intimidating. And his stats are great. His PFF rating is great. You name it, it's great. I mean, he's been better with normal competition as opposed to having this ridiculous schedule.
A defense allows 28 points on average a game to the Chiefs. It's like, okay, It's still the Chiefs, dude. Like they normally average like 42 points. In any event, we did talk about Allen Robinson and the concussion protocol, Mike. Mm-hmm. How about his matchup on Sunday if he does play against the Saints?
Yeah, this one's really interesting. Marshawn Lattimore kind of known for stepping up in big matchups, right? Sometimes you'll see him get beat when the matchup's not intimidating, but he shows up when it's a big one. And it is a big one this week, of course, against Allen Robinson. They met last week, so we have some precedent here. And Lattimore shadowed him on 36 of his 38 perimeter routes, but only 2 of 17 in the slot. Now, that's important. Why? Because against Lattimore, Robinson had 2 catches for 20 yards on 5 targets. Against everyone else, I mean, combined in that game, I should say, 16 targets, 10 catches, 87 yards, 1 touchdown. So when he wasn't on Lattimore, they were basically like, I guess it was probably Trubisky at that point, just throwing it to him every time. So his perimeter versus slot share this year, or ratio, is about the same as last season. So he will escape inside occasionally in this game, and maybe that bails him out. But I will say this. Back-to-back weeks now, Robinson has had tough matchups, and the numbers haven't been so good. 53 yards a couple weeks ago, 70 yards against the Rams, although one of them came late in that game. You know, he wasn't putting much on the board until late in that game, until that long catch. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one. I think maybe in DFS, I'm going to avoid, certainly in cash situations, but obviously tournaments, and you can't bench him in season long.
Big opportunity here for Marshawn Lattimore. You know, Sean Payton comes from the Bill Parcells tree, and one of the oldest tricks in the Bill Parcells playbook is when players aren't playing so well, you sort of test them a little bit publicly. And Sean Payton has said the $6 million question is why we've had so many coverage busts in the secondary. And I don't know if $6 million is specifically referring to one player, group of players, or if it's just sort of an arbitrary number to say that we have a lot of high-priced and significant investment players in the secondary who aren't playing that well. But they're on notice this week.
Oh, yeah.
If Marshawn Lattimore steps up in a major way, if Allen Robinson plays, they'll be surprised if it's those words from Sean Payton maybe helped push him over the edge. Full column was available on ESPN.com through ESPN Plus. Every single week, you got to read The Shadow Report by Mike Clay. You know, the rising generation of NFL superstars have been dropping dimes and creating in space for years, way before they got to the league. Now it's your turn. Create your own highlight reel with X-Factor abilities and innovative new skill stick controls. Swag out and win in style in new backyard football-inspired mode, The Yard. Celebrate your style, showcase your creativity, and rise to fame in a way that only you can. Go all out in Madden NFL 21. Available now.
Do you ever feel like you're always on?
All the time. Mm-hmm.
These days, everything is go, go, go. It is nonstop nothing, but nonstop hustle all the time. And everyone knows nothing good comes from hustling. You've got work, you've got friends, you've got family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. And sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill. Our buddies at Coors Light. Watching football is therapeutic to fans. It is the uninterrupted me time, and it's an excuse to chill and drink beer. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or team just to drink beer. It's a mountain cold refreshment. It's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill and celebrate with responsibly. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is the beer to choose when you need to unwind. So when you do want to hit the reset button, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And please don't forget to celebrate responsibly.
Great stuff there from Daniel. IBM Smart Lineup Decisions is informed by IBM Watson. And with over 19 fantasy points in 4 of his last 5 games, does the streak continue this week for Derek Carr against Cleveland as we get into our Week 8 ranking conversations? If there was a streaming option for the week at quarterback, Mike, that you needed to replace Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, maybe you're concerned about a bad matchup for Drew Brees if he's been your quarterback up to this point, is there a better option this week than Derek Carr?
I don't think so. I'm going to, a little foreshadowing, I'm going to talk about him a little later on our CSS DSS podcast. He is my favorite play at quarterback this week, so really like him. It's a lot of travel going into Cleveland, of course, for Las Vegas, but he's QB9 on my board. Back-to-back top 12 weeks for him. He had none in his first 4 games. Always makes you nervous. He doesn't add a lot of value with his legs, but he does have 260-plus passing yards and 2 or more touchdowns in 5 straight games. And the key here really, of course, is the matchup. He's playing Cleveland. Eighth most fantasy points to quarterback, second if you adjust for volume phase. So they've really struggled in that department. Top three in attempts, completions, yardage allowed. And they've allowed 16 touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks. That is sixth most. So really like him, like the situation here.
Yeah, pretty good spot. And again, if you are looking to replace a quarterback, which is certainly viable this week with all the players that are on bye, and certainly Drew Brees, amongst others, who have less favorable matchups, this could be a week to get Derek Carr into your lineup. And it does not happen frequently right now in fantasy football. So take advantage of it if you are so inclined. Every week, every single week, Mike, you and I talk about David Montgomery.
Yeah, we do.
And I thought...
I think like what? We talked about him last week for sure. Yep. I was higher on him. The week before, I had my shirt on, I think, and you used the "you, David."
Yes.
Ooh, David.
You use that.
Yeah.
You're talking about DMI. It's like an every week thing we have to figure out.
You want
to
know why? Because every week fantasy managers are like, what the heck do I do with this guy? I mean, it never changes.
Well, I mean, his last four finishes are 26, 13, 14, and 21. So
great.
You're just.
So put him in your lineup then, huh?
Well, I mean, I said he's basically producing like 2019 Todd Gurley, right? Now, I tweeted that and people weren't happy about that comparison because Gurley's better or it's all the offensive line's fault. It doesn't matter. In terms of fantasy points produced, it's basically boring RB2, right? I mean, that's what you're getting. There's no ceiling there. There's a high floor. You're going to get 10, 12 fantasy points every week. And look, he's playing over 80% of the snaps, much like, you know, Todd Gurley would play a lot of snaps in with the Rams. And that's during the four games without Tariq Cohen, 13.3 carries and six targets a game, exactly six targets a game, five plus in every game. So, you know, he's been getting a lot of pass catching volume. He's a little unlucky with touchdowns. His OTD is four. His touchdown total is two this season. And I think it's a mid-pack matchup, 3.5 yards per carry allowed by the Saints this season, but they've allowed five touchdowns in six games. So that's my case anyway for him being a mid to back end RB2, but you're actually a little higher than me by a few spots.
Yeah, because I'm crazy. You know, I'm drinking some sort of vicious Kool-Aid or something. But you know what? I'm not going to give you the analysis. Instead, I'm going to defer to my friend, our friend, Danny Kelly from The Ringer, who perfectly encapsulated David Montgomery in a single tweet. Go follow at Danny B. Kelly on Twitter.
He's great.
Here's what he said. David Montgomery, if you need 8 points, I'll get you 10. If you need 20 points... I'll get you 10.
Yeah.
That's what he is, right? I mean, like, exactly. He's never going to
like
win you
Todd Gurley
week.
Last
he's
year.
He's never going to lose you your week. That's what we talk about frequently on this podcast. I am ranking David Montgomery as high as I am only because there are so few good running back options. One day, we'll have more good fantasy football running backs. I will probably have gray hair by that point.
Fields, I got a real quick question.
Please.
I want to jump in here, and I want to know if Bruce Arians gave a red herring to fantasy managers with how much Leonard Fournette played last week. Did I use that right, Stefania?
Didn't
sound right.
Did he give a red herring to Leonard? Well, how should I?
Okay, well, thank goodness for Wikipedia and Kotsopi together.
Right.
Because I have some information for you.
Oh,
we didn't want to leave you hanging, Field. You took a genuine interest. So the way it's worded on Wikipedia, the explanation of what it is a red herring is something that misleads or distracts from a relevant or important question. It may be used intentionally as in mystery fiction or as part of rhetorical strategies or in argumentation inadvertently. And where it comes from. So a herring, when smoked, turns red. And the term was popularized in 1807 by English polemicist William Cobbett, who told a story of having used a strong-smelling smoked fish to divert and distract hounds from chasing a rabbit.
Did you say, what was the profession?
Divert? Polemicist. Oh.
Polemicist?
Right. Everybody knows what a polemicist is, right?
That's basically a contrary, like an somebody who engages in debate.
Can you really quickly...
Strongly opinionated.
Tell me what...
Like a fantasy football analyst?
Read the description of what a red herring is one more time, the first thing you read.
Something that misleads or distracts.
Doesn't that just sound like the entire essence of whatever Matthew Berry's career is?
Like love, hate, back to back.
Like he is one big red
herring. Like that one Matthew's gone today. Now I get it, because for those that missed Wednesday's show, Daniel sent Matthew to another planet. I mean, he just completely... Like, Matthew
shriveled
up.
Oh, that was hilarious.
It was classic. The
clip is on the interweb.
It is on the internet.
I saw that. The love, hate.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you were saying it was a it was a good thing. If he was a love, then he would have a good week. And if it was hate, he would have a bad
You don't know
week.
The show then.
That's cute. Yeah,
yeah. I thought you were being nice. I mean, I was just like, that was a nice comment. Why is he offended?
Well, yeah. You'll get it by next week, Mike.
I'm new to the show.
So the Buccaneers running backs is what we were talking about before we started talking about red herrings.
Which
it's okay. I learned that a herring is a fish and not a bird. I thought
Washington red herring.
Is there also
a heron, the bird.
Heron. Oh, like Stefania. Like I said, you're the smart one around here.
Yeah, National Geographic over here.
Okay.
And Geo.
Let's get to the Buccaneers running back situation now. And again, so the point is this. So Ronald Jones ran great. He was the only running back in the NFL at one point to have back-to-back-to-back games with at least 105 rushing yards this season. And then last week, Leonard Fournette comes back and plays more than Ronald Jones and had much more involvement in the passing game. Ronald Jones did not run well. So one thing that I think we often do in fantasy football is that we think we have, like once we see a sample size of a game or two, we think we have solved something, figured something out, and we try to prescribe what it means for the rest of the season. I feel like this is what we've been doing with the Rams backfield a couple of times, right? Like, oh, Daryl Henderson's the guy. And it's like, wait, Malcolm Brown still has a pulse and scored a touchdown. And then, hey, maybe Daryl Henderson has another game where it looks pretty good. And then Malcolm Brown has two touchdowns, whatever. Are we just going to spend the entire season going back and forth, wishy-washy with this Bucs backfield?
I think so. I mean, if we could correctly project game script, we might have more success here, but that's always tough to do, especially this year. Games have been crazy all over the place. But if you think it's a situation where maybe this week where, they're playing the Giants and you think they're going to control this game throughout, maybe Ronald Jones is the game where he gets 19 carries and, you know, he might max out at two or three targets at this point with Fournette there. But if it's a game where you think it's going to be competitive, maybe they're playing New Orleans or someone like that, then maybe expect more Leonard Fournette, because as Bruce Arians just came out and said, when they're in obvious passing situations, Leonard Fournette has passed out LeSean McCoy, who didn't play a snap in last week's game. It's Fournette. So, look, it's certainly tricky. Fournette outsnapped Jones last week by 9, 39-30. He played better. He saw 6 targets to 1 for Jones. The carries were almost even. I mean, I have Fournette ranked 17th and Jones 18th. It is a decent matchup, right? So I think you can boost them up a couple spots. Giants 10th most fantasy points to running backs. But this is interesting as we try to sort through these, if you're picking one. They played the Bears, 49ers, the Washington football team, and the Eagles. They all had, now they've been decent against the run overall, the Giants. All four of those teams had good receiving games. Their running backs did. They were involved in the passing game. So maybe that boosts Fournette in this game. Maybe that kind of moves the needle a little for him. But I think there is room for both of these guys to be decent fantasy running backs.
You know what? That's what this is, though. This is fantasy football in a nutshell. It's week 8 of the NFL season. There are some things that will change at this point going forward and will stay that way, right? Like someone could emerge out of nowhere. Like maybe A.J. Green, I'm just making this up here. Maybe A.J. Green becomes the clear-cut Bengals wide receiver one again, and he remains that way for the rest of the season.
Oh,
I know he's
Lord,
31.
Please, don't let that happen.
I'm just saying,
I know,
it's possible,
just don't put that
right?
in the universe,
like,
though.
Things could happen, and then they could stay that way for the rest of the year. They could. Who knows? At the same time, like, if you've made it this far, like, just take us at our word when I say, like, projection. Projection is an important thing here. There's a very big difference between projecting and guaranteeing something. So my personal opinion on this Bucs running back group is that if you have either one of them, consider them. Hopefully they are flexed into your lineup and not one of your two starting running backs, because it could be difficult week to week to size up which one will be more involved in the game plan.
I would say with full confidence, Leonard Fournette is a 51% chance to outscore Ronald Jones. 51-49, I would say.
You
full confidence.
Never allowed back on this show with that kind of analysis. Melvin Gordon faces his old team, the Los Angeles Chargers, this weekend. Maybe a revenge game narrative, but maybe, I think, also pertinent to this conversation, Stefania, I'll ask you, Philip Lindsay has been banged up. Is he in the concussion protocol as well?
He is, and not practicing on Wednesday, so you know how this goes. We never know until it gets to later in the week, but there's always the chance that he could miss this game.
Okay, so if he does, then obviously that would mean they would need even more out of Melvin Gordon, perhaps some also Royce Freeman as well, but he scored a touchdown in 4 of his 5 games this season. He's been pretty involved in the passing game here, Mike. If Philip Lindsay is out, I mean, does Melvin Gordon become like maybe like a top 12 or so running back play?
I don't know if I would go that far, but not terribly far off. I mean, he's been a top 20 fantasy back in 4 or 5 games this season. So he has a touchdown in 4 of those 5 games. He's averaging 16.0 carries and 4.3 targets per game. You love that volume, obviously, for any running back. And look, they're playing the Chargers this week, so let's talk briefly about that matchup. Only one rushing touchdown allowed this season, so they've been good in that department, but it's been volume-based. They've only faced one carry inside the five-yard line. They're allowing four and a half yards per carry. That's around mid-pack. And 27-plus fantasy points they've allowed to running backs in four straight games. It's Carolina, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and Jacksonville. So it's not, you know, it's a decent group, I guess. But nonetheless, I think that if Gordon's pushing for 20 touches and Lindsay's out, yeah, I mean, he's a must-start.
Funny, we both just mentioned the receiving game impact for Melvin Gordon, and he has been heavily targeted. He does not have a game with even 15 receiving yards this season. He's basically Leonard Fournette last year, right? Like all behind the line of scrimmage, maybe in a lot of cases, dump offs as well. For a while, really for last year specifically, if a wide receiver was playing against the Patriots, you were really nervous. Mm-hmm. This year, not so much, Mike. You and I both have Stephon Diggs inside our top 10. You have him all up at number 4. Daniel, outside the top 15. I don't know if are you worried here, Daniel? Is this respect for the Patriots? Is this anything in particular or just...
No, I think he probably needs to be higher, not as high as 4. I mean, I think Mike Clay's drinking some crazy juice, but I think that there is a little bit of...
See what he's wearing?
I do. Ew.
I have an excuse today. I can say whatever I want.
Yes. I do think, though, that there is a little bit... I would say... I don't want to say that my confidence in Josh Allen has been shaken after what should have been some easy matchups in a row, and then after seeing what happened last week with the Jets, but I kind of want to see that that offense wasn't just like putting together a couple of nice weeks and got hot out of the gate. I want to see that it's sustainable long term. So probably should have him closer to that 10 to 12 range, in my opinion.
I mean, again, you're still starting him at wide receiver.
Yes, of course. You're not starting
like
Stephon Diggs.
Benching Stephon Diggs.
Correct.
But, Mike, how good of a matchup is this?
I think it's pretty good. By the way, he is wide receiver 4 in fantasy points. I have him 4th, so I don't know who's drinking the crazy juice. But anyway, whatever. So New England, just let's add some context to their pass defense. So 6.3 yards per target allowed to wide receivers last season. That was best in the NFL. They're at 10.0 this season. That is third worst in the league, a complete flip-flop so far. They faced 100 targets, which is actually third fewest. So they haven't faced a lot of volume to that position, but they've allowed 7 touchdowns. They did okay against Miami, Denver, and San Francisco wide receivers. Not really, obviously, great groups. They were absolutely crushed by Seattle. We remember that. They were weak against the Raiders, and they allowed a pair of touchdowns to Chiefs wide receivers as well. So when they have been targeted, they have struggled this season for sure. And as for Diggs, I mean, he's, you know, without getting too into it, near the top in every category among wide receivers. Only one weekly finish better than 22nd. That came last week. He's 12 or more targets in 3 games. There's just so much upside and, honestly, a very high floor with Diggs the way he's using that super pass-heavy offense.
Yeah, I agree. That's certainly a high floor. I mean, Josh Allen, even if he's been inconsistent over the past 3 weeks, which is true, it hasn't really impacted Stephon Diggs too dramatically. Last one here on the rankings conversation, then we will get to our Thursday night preview. Actually, before I get to TJ Hawkinson, by the way, for those that maybe are wondering, the Patriots did benefit from a stat correction on defense. As those who are maybe... I don't know, not as familiar with this. Our stats run corrections every Wednesday night into Thursday. The Patriots had an additional, I believe an extra sack and maybe a forced fumble credit to them this past week. Maybe it's an extra sack. Anyways, the Patriots now have an additional 2 points on fantasy. You might have swung your matchup, so make sure you check to see whether your Week 7 matchup was impacted at all on that.
On that topic, by the way, we have an article. It's really good at ESPN about a guy who, I believe it was Monday night, Monday night's DraftKings showdown, showdown captain mode, he won the $1 million, and there was a stat correction like a half hour after the game, and it knocked him down to $3,000.
No.
Wow. How about that?
That's brutal. So anyway, they interview him, and he talks about it. He was a good sport, but that's to hurt. Imagine celebrating that, and then, that one hurts. But anyway,
I can't imagine.
Good content over at ESPN.com.
One more piece of news before we get to TJ Hawkinson quickly. The Giants just announced that a player has tested positive for COVID-19. I don't know if Stefania, if you saw this, but the player was immediately self-isolated, and the contact tracing process was initiated. All of the player's close contacts were identified and were informed to remain home today. Those individuals will participate in meetings remotely. However, the training center will remain open and the rest of the team will follow their normal practice and meeting schedules. It does not sound like any impact on Monday Night Football, but again, we're a long ways away from that. Putting it on your radar for those that might have some Giants in their lineup and, of course, the Buccaneers. Their game was in question last week because of the Raiders' offensive line. We'll keep an eye on that one as well. Just passing it along for right now. Last one here. We'll do this really quickly, Mike. TJ Hockenson scored a huge touchdown this past week for Daniels' 3-3 Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You got to like what he's done lately. A touchdown in three straight games, four on the season. It's the number six scoring tight end. The only issue here is the matchup. They're playing the Colts. Fewest fantasy points allowed to tight ends are either first or second best in receptions, receiving yards, yards per catch, yards per target, and catch rate allow no touchdowns. Field, this is the stat line of tight ends against the Colts this season. 37 targets, 17 catches, 134 yards, no touchdowns. The schedule's been on the easy side, but still, that's straight-up dominance. It's the only, that's the reason I have them at 12 this week.
Oh, man.
Tough matchup.
Yeah, the Colts defense coming off of a bye as well. They have been the real deal so far this season. Time now for our Thursday night matchup, but first, a couple of live reads some more for our friends that make this program possible every single day, including ESPNU Radio on SiriusXM, which is where you need to be if you live and breathe college football. We're talking live games, the latest rankings, conference, and team news, analysis from experts like Mark Packer, Greg McElroy, and EJ Manuel, all leading up to championship specials and more. Take SiriusXM with you and always have the latest college football info you need. Listen right now on the SiriusXM app or online at SiriusXM.com/listen ESPNU.
How do you obliviate high rates on car insurance, Field?
I don't know. I have literally no idea.
You switch to Geico doing Geicoween, obviously. October is their favorite time of year. The folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they could be brewing up a spellbinding amount of savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy Geicoween, everybody. All right,
get to the Atlanta Falcons and Carolina Panthers game. We'll get to the Well done, Daniel. My bad there. Ah, man, I am negligent in what I need to be a man of my word, because yesterday on the show I told you all that Matt Ryan is going to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback this week. The problem is I did not move him up to number 10 in my quarterback rankings. Matthew and I went back and forth on this yesterday's show, Mike. Matthew believing that maybe this Carolina Panthers defense is a little bit stingier than I was giving them credit for. Where are you on Matt Ryan this week?
Yeah, I'm low. I'm QB 14. I have him actually one spot below Teddy Bridgewater, who we'll talk about shortly. Did not do well in the week five meeting. 226 yards and no touchdowns. Only one weekly finish better than 16th over his past five outings. So he already isn't playing well lately. One of those games was that Carolina game. And look, the Panthers defense, say what you want about them, they are slowing quarterbacks. Fourth fewest fantasy points to that position, fifth fewest yards, the lowest yards per attempt, believe it or not, and only nine passing touchdowns. They only have six interceptions, so that's good, I guess, but overall, they've not allowed much fantasy production.
Well, you guys are both wrong then. I can't wait to win a board bet against both Matthew and Mike this week.
Very uninterested in that opinion.
Okay, good. Yeah, nice job, David. Todd Gurley has been red hot so far this season. He's RB13, and maybe that's a little bit too kind, red hot. But still, he's RB13 with 16 fantasy points per game this season. Week 5 against Carolina, he went crazy. 14 carries for 121 yards, plus a touchdown, including four catches for 29 yards. Mike, I mean, he's sort of settled into what he is, which is he's a solid high-end RB2 or a low-end RB1.
Yeah, he's been better than 2019 Todd Gurley. He's been picking it up for sure. Top 25 in fantasy points, six of his seven games this season, including his past five. Believe it or not, second in the NFL in carries right now with 122. He has at least 14 in every game, gives you a very consistent high floor. He actually leads all running backs with touchdowns. That's nothing new. Obviously, we saw that during the Rams era. And his targets are picking up. This one's big. Eight in his first four games. He has 12 in his past three. Great matchup again. We loved him a few weeks ago. As you mentioned, he did well against Carolina. They cannot stop running backs. Third most fantasy points allowed, top five, and basically every category across the board.
Well, you might be a little bit less optimistic about Matt Ryan because you are, I don't know, you're a red herring or something.
Yeah.
But it's not going to impact your status of having either Julio Jones or Calvin Ridley inside your lineup tonight. Both players crack your top 11. I must have misranked Calvin Ridley or something. He dropped to 22 for me. That was an error. I will make sure to correct that by the time we get back to the game tonight. Both players certainly have been awesome this season. But how about Hayden Hurst, Mike? Kind of an interesting tight end this season. It's been really, really hard to find tight ends this year because it's a year. And every year it's hard to find tight ends. Last week he had that miracle catch against, who did they play last week?
Who did the Falcons play? Man.
Oh, the Lions, of course.
Oh,
yeah,
I was
just saying, catch against the Lions.
They blew it at the end. What was that game? But then their list was so long.
Wow, Mike, that is torture.
Can I just
to Falcons
say,
fans.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt this video.
No,
like Matthew
please go.
Does, but like, the idea that Matthew Stafford drove down the field, and I get it, it's the Falcons defense and they're pretty soft in the secondary, but the idea that he went 80 yards on basically three passes, slinging it deep every time against like such soft coverage. Matthew Stafford is such a good quarterback, and he doesn't get credit for all of the things that he does. And I'm not trying to be Detroit Lions homer. Like, the dude is just a good player. His launch angles, all the things that other guys do, like, he just hasn't been on a great team surrounded by as many great talent as some of these other guys have been.
I completely agree.
I was just going to say, why didn't they unleash him until that drive?
I don't know.
I mean, that was super stressful to watch, or super irritating to watch.
Yeah, how do you think Daniel Mamadou felt?
Running, like, attack this terrible secondary, and they just wouldn't do it.
So Hayden Hurst, though, maybe makes the top 10 tight ends for this week?
Yeah, he is 10th on my board. Back-to-back top 8 weeks, finished top 12 in 4 of his 7 games this season. So he has been solid. The matchup is basically average, 10th fewest fantasy points allowed to tight ends. But, you know, the last time these two teams played, he sort of faded in the background, you know, like a smoke alarm. 6 targets, 2 catches, 8 yards. So,
what? You know, that does not make any sense. Literally, under no circumstance does a smoke alarm ever just fade into the background. It is always annoying. It beeps incessantly. You can never get the battery in right. Why is it connected to power if it needs a battery in the first place?
Wow, what a great question.
Wow, you were thinking about this one, were you?
This, like, happened recently, didn't it?
It doesn't make sense for a smoke alarm to disappear in the background.
Yeah.
Mike, we'll talk to David Rose about that. I wouldn't know anything
about it. Okay, all right.
Let's get to the Carolina Panthers. And news to begin with the Panthers that has nothing to do with the player that's playing tonight, Stefania, I don't think, because we're going to have to wait one more week, it sounds like, for Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey not playing tonight. I don't think this was a big surprise for us. I know there was a tease there, right? It comes back to practice. It starts off the week wearing the red no contact jersey, but then he comes the next day and dramatically gets the okay to switch it out for a regular jersey, and they designate him formally for return on Tuesday. But I think I tweeted this yesterday. It would be a long way to go from not having fully practiced in 6 weeks to playing in a game less than 48 hours later. Yeah. It just felt like when they were being so cautious with his return, why would they do that? Unless they were just going to let him, like, dip his toe in the pool and get a little bit of action. But it always made sense that he would be out for another week. But I think now what we can take from this, and they're very excited about it, it's clear they're feeling the energy of having him back, is probably looking ahead to next week.
Yeah, they play the Chiefs. You can certainly love to have your best player, one of the best players in the NFL, against the Chiefs. You're going to need every point that you can score. Let's get to his quarterback now to start, Teddy Bridgewater. And I was thinking about this, Mike. He kind of reminds me of Philip Rivers this year. And here's the reason why, is that Teddy Bridgewater could certainly get you 15 points, and it wouldn't surprise me. Would it surprise you?
No.
18?
No, I could see it for sure. I mean,
15 to 18?
To your point, he has 1 week he finished better than 12th. That sounds like Philip Rivers'
boom
end of season stat for the last 10 years, right? He just never really has much of a fantasy ceiling. So absolutely, he did have a good game against this team a few weeks ago. He was QB12 that week, 313 yards, 2 passing touchdowns. But what's interesting is we just talked about how the Falcons have struggled so much defensively. That 313 passing yards was the fewest they have allowed to a quarterback this season. That's
that
how
right?
bad they have been. That is the least amount of passing yards they've allowed this
wow.
season. But Bridgewater, he's been good, right? He's been producing through the air, 5th in the NFL in passing yards, 2nd in completion rate, 6th in yards per attempt, only 9 touchdowns. That's really what has held him back so far. But Atlanta, again, most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, near the top in every category, highest yards per attempt. Just set all 7 quarterbacks they have faced have been above their season average otherwise when playing Atlanta. I mean, great matchup. That's why he's QB12.
You can take this one to the bank. We will be speaking about Mike Davis and what to do with him going forward starting next week, because you have one more week of utility for Mike Davis tonight. It's a good spot here, Mike, and a good matchup for him. He cracks all of our top 8 for running backs tonight.
Yeah, definitely. You just have to keep firing him up. I know he's coming off a down game, and he's actually been RB20 and 30 the past 2 weeks, but you know, he was top 10 3 weeks in a row, has had some tough matchups. I believe it was did he play Tampa and New Orleans? I think two pretty tough matchups the past couple of weeks, but the volume's still great. 14 carries and 6.6 targets per game over the past 5 weeks. And Atlanta, 12th most fantasy points to running backs. Not much rushing production. They haven't allowed much on the ground, but a ton of receiving. Second most receptions, sixth most receiving yards, and most touchdown catches with four. They have been a little bit better since they made the coaching change, but still, that's where they've been exploited. And we know Mike Davis may get 10 targets in this game, so he's in a good spot.
Yeah, I feel like, again, you can't ask for much more than what you got out of Mike Davis.
No,
I mean,
no
he's
doubt.
Been awesome, filling in for Christian McCaffrey. That on paper felt like, you know, if going into the season, one of the biggest fears you could have would be not having Christian McCaffrey in your lineup. If you immediately insured him with Mike Davis, I'm not saying it's been Christian McCaffrey, but it's been about as close as you could ask for in those fill-in duties. Two wide receivers for the Panthers who certainly have been awesome of late. Robbie Anderson's been good all season, Mike. Number six on your board must be the matchup you love.
And his production this season, right? I mean, he already is one of the top scoring fantasy quarterbacks this season, fantasy wide receivers, 10.5 plus points in all seven games, four top 20s. He crushed them in the first meeting between these teams. In fact, he was so good out of the gate in that game that Atlanta was shadowing with Kendall Sheffield. At halftime, they were just like, can't do that anymore.
Do that.
That's not working. We can't stop this guy. He just totally crushed it. Seventh in receiving yards this season. Of course, the matchup's great. I mean, there's what's not to like about Robbie Anderson? The guy has developed this year into a star, number one wide receiver.
Probably their best signing of the offseason, other than Teddy Bridgewater.
One of the best in the league, yeah.
He certainly has been very good for them on that two-year contract signed after leaving the New York Jets. And then DJ Moore has back-to-back-to-back games with 93 receiving yards, Mike. The volume has not been substantial, but still inside your top 16 tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Anderson's averaging 8.6 targets a game this season. Moore is up to 7.6 now. So he's catching up. You know, he started slow, but as you mentioned, three straight top 25 weeks, almost a quarter of their targets, 40% of their air yards. He's seventh at wide receiver in receiving yards this season. So the production's been there. He's been good now. You know, it was a slow start. I think that sometimes that'll throw us off, but he's been good lately.
Yeah, he's one of the better, more explosive players. Even if it's not vertical shots down the field, he's very good after the catch. 18.3 yards per reception this year for DJ Moore.
To your point, DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson have kind of switched roles from years past. Now, Moore is the vertical threat. Robbie Anderson is the possession guy in short area. It's kind of funny how that has changed in the Matt Rhule offense.
Well, whatever they've been doing, it certainly worked for these two players of late. In fantasy football, let's pick this game. The Falcons, Carolina Panthers. Mike, you go first because you always have a cool, nifty score projection as well.
Of course, you say that the week I forget to write my score down, but I have the Panthers by one.
Okay, Panthers by one.
Sorry about my slacking.
I will pick the Panthers as well. Daniel, who do you got?
I'll take the Panthers by three or more.
You're crazy.
By three or more. Stefania, any thoughts on the game winner tonight?
I'm just gonna root for the Falcons to win a game.
The red herring.
Yeah. Oh, the red herring.
She's just throwing us off. She's actually picking the Falcons.
Stefania, like she used it correctly the first time, and we have subsequently butchered it in terms of its use and application.
Actually, Halloween is a good opportunity to explore red herrings because horror movies, scary movies, are where they, you know, abound, right?
Oh.
There's a secret, like if you look in the shower curtain and nothing's there, but they're in the closet, you know.
I feel like
scary movies.
You put a lot of thought. No, I don't. I'm not much. I watched Big Daddy last night, and it was really awesome. One of the best movies of all time. Let's get to a couple social questions before we wrap up, Daniel.
I really want to see that social or that scary movie where I pull back the shower curtain. And I'm like, oh, he's not there. I guess we're okay. And then he comes out of the closet, and it's like, oh, I died.
Yeah. Oh God.
That's how they all are.
I know, Stefania. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
This first social question is going to come from me. Lamar Jackson plays Pittsburgh this week, and I've got Justin freaking Herbert on my roster as well. Can I tell you that I'm not the only person that is looking at this and being like, am I getting cute by benching Lamar Jackson against Pittsburgh when I've got someone like Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow who have just been lighting it up recently?
Mike, you want to handle this?
Did you check my rankings?
I did. I've looked at, and I have rankings too. So, like, but I'm just saying, I understand. I'm just there are a lot of questions. It's an emotional game.
It really is. I'm so glad you said that because that's the first thing that I'm thinking about right now is that Justin Herbert has all these games back to back to back to back of awesome production.
Yeah.
I'd be so scared to do either thing. Like, I'd be scared to bench Lamar Jackson. I would be scared that in a much better spot, Justin Herbert could go off. I mean, like, the matchup is so much less than, I mean, Denver's okay defensively, but it's a lot less imposing than Pittsburgh. What do you got?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I'm fairly certain I have Jackson a couple spots ahead. I think
I do
like
too.
Fifth and eighth or something like that. But
yeah,
I would lean Jackson. But again, I don't have, sometimes there's questions where it is a close call and go with your instinct. You can do that when, you know, variance is so high in this game.
Okay. All right, this first question comes from Naptown 9 season. What running back would you target in a trade if you were trying to trade away DeAndre Swift? First off, wrong answer. don't try and trade away DeAndre Swift.
Here's a question for you. We'll have fun with this. I mean, and we have a couple minutes here left. So would you trade DeAndre Swift for David Montgomery, the player that we obviously undercut, or I undercut some of what he's doing this year, but you're getting a floor, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I would lean a little towards Montgomery there, but that's a close call.
That's a classic what do you need, right? Like if you just need someone to stabilize your RB2 or flex spot, then you've got David Montgomery. If you're, you know, maybe 2-4 right now, 2-5 right now, and you need to, you know, find some swing for the fences a little bit, you'd go with DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, and I think people might say, that's boring. Like, Swift has a higher ceiling, but Swift, I mean, it's getting colder. Maybe Adrian Peterson keeps getting 15 carries because they want to grind away like that. It's very possible. And also, Montgomery getting 6 targets a game may really get rolling, too.
One more here.
Maybe. I'm curious on that point. Antonio Gibson or DeAndre Swift?
Antonio Gibson.
Gibson, yeah.
Miles Gaskin or DeAndre Swift?
Gaskin, yeah.
All right. What about...
Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon's really the only other one on this list.
Close.
You could pick your poison there. I'm going to lean towards Swift just because Philip Lindsay's good
at football. There you have it. We're back on Friday with a full show preview of Week 8. Watch it's great. Good job, Mike. Talk to you later. Peace out.
Holding the team. You're in the 06010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.